WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Canadian public television isn't exactly known for irreverent, razor-sharp, satiric comedies. But last season, it came out with The Newsroom, a parody of the behind-the-scenes antics of a Toronto CBC news show. The series was so cutting and cutting-edge, it immediately earned a cult following among newsrooms all over Canada and skyrocketed in the ratings. Even despite its very specific Canadian references, many PBS stations are picking up the series and will be airing it in September. The Newsroom will remind viewers in this country of the Larry Sanders Show in a newsroom setting. It depicts producers, reporters, and idiotic anchormen at their conniving, unctuous worst. Pettiest of them all is the news director, played by Ken Finkelman, who's also the creator, executive producer, and director of Newsroom. Finkelman is a veteran Hollywood writer. He has screenwriting credits on 16 movies, including the Madonna film Who's That Girl, and the sequels to Grease and to Airplane, which he also directed. Here's a scene from the show, The Newsroom. The news director, George, played by Ken Finkelman, is leading a typical morning story meeting.
The Toronto businessman vacationing in Florida. Remember the cops reported he was shot by two blacks? Well, they didn't do it. The wife confessed.
So it's a domestic thing.
He's still dead.
Yeah, well, so is the story. Canadian businessman shot by his wife in Florida doesn't work.
But shot by two black kids worked.
I didn't say that. The story doesn't work, okay? There's no hook.
By the way, the wife didn't actually pull the trigger. Allegedly, she put the boyfriend up to it.
Was the boyfriend black, at least?
He was white.
Pass on that.
Well, there is an amateur video of the body floating in the pool.
Was the body floating up, or face down?
Face up.
Are the eyes open?
One eye was open, the other was gone.
Gone?
Shot out.
I love that. We got tape.
What about the welfare cuts?
Well, actually, the welfare cuts were bumped to the second. We were going to do the horse and the hooker as a lead.
Well, I think we got two leads now. We got the body in the pool, we got the horse and the hooker and the developer.
Okay, well, who's for body in the pool?
I'm for body in the pool. Yeah.
Okay, hooker and horse? Body in the pool.
Body in the pool.
Okay.
Next.
Ken Finkelman says the idea for The Newsroom grew out of a lifetime of watching TV news. Obviously, he wasn't all that happy with what he saw.
I remember watching this one news story on CNN when they, you know, isn't it, give us 30 minutes, we'll give you the news, the world or something. But I remember seeing this story, this was just about a couple months ago. There was in the 30 minutes in which they're giving us the world news, there's a story of a guy who's he's in some kind of underground parking garage structure. You could sort of see it's all cement. And they have firemen there with hoses and they've got him in a corner and they've got the hoses, you know, sort of pushing him against the corner with the force of the water. And the story was that he was some kind of, you know, street, you know, person, some homeless sort of person that was crazy. And they restrained him. He must have been screaming or yelling or doing something that was antisocial. They restrained him with fire hoses in an underground garage. And they devoted about 3 minutes of the world news to this story. So that's what the news is. You know, if you have a woman, she's on fire, she's jumping from the 38th story of a building, they'll lead with that because they have the picture. Now, if they didn't have the picture and that story happened, you wouldn't know that woman existed, you know.
Now, there are two very funny and relentlessly weaselly producers on the show. They're played by comedians. They're not actors. And
no.
You've said somewhere that the only thing you demanded of these guys is that they don't try to crack jokes or try to be funny.
Yeah.
What did they take that to mean, that they not try to be funny?
Well, what you don't want to do is to start, you know, because they were stand-up comics, right? And you don't want them to do that in the midst of this type of show, because there's no sort of setups and punchlines in this show. But I like these guys because I find stand-up comics to be good playing themselves, because they just have a natural sense of timing. And they play themselves on the stage when they're, you know, to a certain extent. So they're not intimidated by the camera. So if you go and if you tell them, don't act, they'll generally... If they are pretty good stand-up comics, some kind of entertaining persona will emerge. D- Do you know what I mean? Because they're most likely were class clowns, and they like the idea of having a camera on them, and I just sort of asked them to be themselves, and they generally did very well.
So it'll spark some snide, sarcastic comments and retorts.
They pretty well follow the script, but they bring sort of some kind of subtle air of comedy to the whole thing, because it's not really that funny a show. I'm not that good a comedy writer.
Well, you're not an actor by profession either.
No.
And when you portrayed your character, do you just slip into it in the same way? It brings out that same persona, that class clown in you?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't certain. Well, I guess I sort of was the class clown, but a class clown. But I just sort of play the character because I find a lot of those impulses in myself.
Those impulses to obsess about your material.
Yeah,
possessions
obsess, and be obsessive, and be petty, and be self-absorbed, all those things.
So you can kind of revel in it on stage.
Yeah, you can do that. And then in one of the episodes, which is about a nuclear meltdown at the end, the news director can't deal with it. He goes into to denial, and he starts to sort of conjure up his past life and all these women that he's been had affairs with in his life. And I realize how much fun that is when you have that kind of control, is that you can actually just sort of create an entire romantic world for yourself, write it, shoot it, and put yourself at the center of it as the actor, and sort of walk around in a nice suit and have these sort of attractive women kind of wanting answers from you. And you just write the real questions that you've always had in your life about these characters, and it's a tremendously exciting thing to do.
Kind of brings out the best and the worst in you.
Oh, yeah, terrible. Brings out the terrible part of me.
Now, your style as a director on the set, do you introduce ideas and let the actors run with them sometimes?
Not really, no. I ad-lib a lot because I don't remember. I have a lot of lines and I don't remember any of the scripts when I'm about to shoot. I don't memorize the script at night or anything like that. I have no idea really what to say, what's in it, until I start to shoot it. And so I'll end up ad-libbing a lot, and people will be left kind of in the cold because they don't get cues and they don't know what to say and stuff. But after a number of takes, I'll generally have the script. And sometimes out of those messed up takes when I'm just sort of ad-libbing and we get sort of an exchange going, there's good stuff and we use it.
Writing for TV must be pretty frenetic, especially when you're the director and the producer and every other...
Well, no, it's actually not that... For me, I burnt out. I did 13 shows. I had nothing else to say. I wrote very, intuitively, and I didn't really follow any rules that because I'd written in Hollywood, and I know what notes are, and I know what, structure is, and I know what the necessities of story and plot are. And I wasn't really terribly concerned with any of that stuff. So I was just felt that, in satire, it's not really how the story ends, but how you get there. And then I would just sort of look at my computer and say, when I'm on page 29 or something, I would say, oh, I should stop it now. And I would write two more pages and finish everything off. So it was all very, it was all actually very undisciplined.
You did research by hanging out in a CBC newsroom in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
What were you looking for?
I was looking to see how the people dressed, and they dressed terribly here. So wardrobe had a very easy go of it, They're amazingly sort of unstylish, unfashionable, dowdy place. But none of them have ever shopped at Maxfield's in Los Angeles.
Were you interested in the rhythm of the workday? What people talked
about?
Yeah,
I was interested in that. I was interested in how the story meetings happen. They always start the morning off with the story meetings. And different producers pitch their ideas. And actually, reporters also pitch their ideas in the story meetings. And I tried to imagine myself at the center of it and how my personal life would sort of mix with that. And that's how the idea came. I also looked at the newsroom and how it was laid out. And when I went to the art director, I said, don't build sets, with the walls that can swing out so cameras can get in and stuff like that. Just bring the construction people in and build the actual room, the newsroom. So we actually built a room.
And it's pretty claustrophobic, too.
After a while, it was.
You had a CBC radio series earlier in your career with Rick Moranis, and it was called The Wednesday Report. What was the premise of the show?
Well, that was all. I've always done basically, you know, the same thing. I'm kind of one-note person, you know. That was also a satire of a CBC current affairs radio show. So that didn't have a laugh track, didn't have an audience, didn't have jokes, but it was a little sort of documentary. It was like a documentary, you know, show, and we did sort of fake documentaries.
Have you ever performed before an audience?
I had a long time ago with Rick Moranis performed which the closest thing I can describe it to would be to those Bob and Ray kind of interviews. You know those characters they used to do, those interviews, Bob and Ray, and we did these on a late night CBC talk show. And I was terrible, and I was petrified. And one night we used to do these live to tape, just to a tape with no audience. One night we had to do it in front of an audience, and I was on, and Tom Waits was on this show, and Rick and I had to do this thing, and I was so paralyzed with fear I couldn't speak. And so he said, "Well, why don't you just go across the street and get some beer?" And I went across the street and I got 6 beer, and I got drunk. I got so absolutely drunk that I could hardly stand up, but I had no fear. I also had no talent.
How did the act go?
It was terrible. It was absolutely frightening. It was just horrible.
Ken Finkelman is the creator, writer, producer, director, and star of the CBC sitcom The Newsroom. It's being picked up by PBS stations around the country.